688.
Appoint Kyle Collins, Jonathan Bolden, Idris Koshnow, and Mark Lutweiler to the Private for Hire Transportation Advisory Committee for terms to expire March 31, 2019.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, these appointments complete the Private for Hire Transportation Advisory Committee. In January, the Council approved 17 of the 19 members of the committee, and we plan to come back to Council later after recruiting executive, town car, and shuttle drivers for those committee appointments. Since then, the appointed taxi driver vacated his seat on the committee. PBOT conducted targeted outreach to taxi drivers as well as town car and shuttle drivers for these appointments. I'd like to tell you a little bit about these appointees today. Jonathan Bolden will serve as the committee's town car driver representative. Jonathan has worked in the limo and executive sedan industry for more than 7 years in Portland and Seattle. He works for as a driver for limo and sedan companies here in the Portland area. Before working in the for-hire industry, he owned a moving company covering Washington, Oregon, California, and Idaho. Idris Wall Krashna will serve as the committee's shuttle driver representative. Idris was born in the small town of Kora in Kurdistan in northern Iraq. He finished a four-year college degree in the College of Agriculture and Forestry at the University of Mosul in 1990. In 1996, he was evacuated by the U.S. government to Guam and granted political asylum, settled in Portland in February 1997, sponsored by SOAR and ERCO, began working as a welder and later a supervisor at a manufacturing company. He started working as a part-time shuttle driver at night in 1998, started full-time in 2000. In 2000, he purchased Eagle Shuttle LLC with a partner. 5 years later, opened Hillsboro Airport and Car Service, LLC. Kyle Collins will serve as the taxi driver representative of the committee. Kyle is a driver for EcoCab, working for them since they launched operations in July 2015. Before working for EcoCab, he worked in the food and beverage industry. He's been a volunteer in his community since 2008. Also has experience as a town car and limo driver. This action today also replaces Michael Huggins with Mark Lewiler as the Port of Portland representative of the committee. Mark currently works for the port as the commercial roadway systems manager and oversees the daily operations of taxis, TNCs, and shuttles, including ground transportation permitting and ordinance enforcement at the port. Prior to joining the port earlier this year, Mark was airport manager at Bellingham International Airport, where he was instrumental in developing and rolling out a formal ground transportation program for all commercial transportation providers. So those are our nominees today. Mark Williams of PBOT is here to answer any questions.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Question, if I could. My understanding is that a number of appointees from the taxi industry have backed out, and that's one of the reasons why we're appointing someone else today. And can you give us an update on the reasons that prior appointees have given for choosing not to continue their service?
Sure. My name is Mark Williams. I'm the regulatory division manager. So the original appointee was a full-time college student. We didn't realize he was currently enrolled at the time he applied for the position. He has since then gone back to school in South Dakota. And then we outreached to some of the other taxi cab companies. We had another individual, I can't remember her last name, I believe her first name was Alice, and she, at the last minute, decided that she didn't want to make that kind of commitment with the time that she had and for other personal reasons. So we called a few of the companies and to see if they could maybe handpick an individual for us to appoint for the driver on the committee. Kyle Collins was one that had reached out to us earlier, expressing his interest to be a part of this process. So after all the other efforts failed, I reached out to EcoCab to see if Kyle was still interested.
So there's a total of 17 people on this committee?
19,
excuse me. And there's one designated taxi driver representative of the 19?
Correct.
So given the fact that a significant portion of the regulatory oversight of this body applies to the taxi industry, do we have an assurance from Kyle Collins that he will take this appointment and make the necessary commitment to this, i.e. attend the meetings and be fully engaged?
I'm completely confident that he will be able to, and he has expressed to me his interest, like I indicated several times, that he would love to be a part of this process. He is very excited to be there, and I should also mention that the other members that we are appointing today have also been a part of this process for the initial three meetings, so they're not walking in brand new. Kyle will be the only one that hasn't attended the meeting before. Along with Kyle representing the taxi industry, we also have the owner of Broadway Cab, who also represents taxi owners in the industry, but the industry as a whole.
I have no doubt that the owner of Broadway Cab will be faithfully attending these meetings. I just think as long as it's clear that we're looking for someone to make the full commitment, and I guess with the history of the prior history, it's important that this person, and this person fulfills a very important position on the committee. So if you're confident that Mr. Collins is ready to make the full commitment to this job, I'm prepared to support your recommendation.
Thank you.
Okay, other questions for Mr. Williams? Thank you very much. Thanks. Anyone want to speak on these nominees? Okay. Come on up. Mary, you've spoken several times this morning. Mary?
Yes.
You've spoken several times this morning. It has to be on the subject of these nominees. But I'm going to let Lightning go first because he came up first, but then I'll make sure you get a chance.
I don't need any special treatment. You don't have to handle me.
Thank you. Good.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I do agree with the appointments. Again, I think I also heard that the owner of Broadway Cab would be attending these meetings, which I think is very beneficial. One of the concerns I want to just stress to the whole committee is that, as you know, a lot of these companies at Broadway Radio have taken a serious loss in their valuations of their businesses. And I want it understood by the new committee members that we need to figure out a way we can help them recoup their losses by, to quote, the shared economy, by bringing in Uber and Lyft. One of the ways that I've been trying to figure that out is I think Uber just received another $3.5 billion from Saudi Arabia, my understanding, for their expansion. What I'd like to propose to the committee is that make a suggestion to Uber at this time before they decide to do their IPO and allow these companies to have their built-in losses rolled into their IPO of Uber and see if Uber will look at it at this time to understand that make a first step forward on doing something great in the Portland, Oregon market by allowing some type of profit incentive that you have made a tremendous amount of money by coming into this city. When you do your IPO and you will become your supercorn unicorn status, which you're trying to do, Mr. Kalanick, you will achieve that, but also pick up some of the people in Portland, Oregon, which I've asked at the beginning of this, and work them into your IPO, either by funding them back low interest loans long term to continue to operate and build their businesses, or offer them a buy-in before you do your final IPO to where these companies can also show a rapid increase in profits as you have done in the Portland, Oregon market by riding the backs of the traditional cab companies, taking their ideas, creating a simple app, putting it on your platform, which anyone could do. The Sanwar brothers are doing that all day long to you at Silicon Valley. So understand, imitation is simple, but step forward and show how you can recoup their profits. You can do it through your IPO. Do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary, I think you're next.
Hi, my name is Mary Rose Eng, and I'd like to say hello, Council, again, Steve Novick, Amanda Fritz, Charlie Hales, Dan Saltzman, and Nick Fish. It's a pleasure to see you all. I would like to speak on Measure 688, the measure under the Bureau of Transportation under Commissioner Steve Novick to appoint Kyle Collins, Jonathan Bolden, Idas Koshnal, and Mark Lautweiler to the Private for Hire Transportation Advisory Committee in terms to expire March 31st, 2019. What I understand is that Ms. Fritz was isolated in her testimony and standpoint about her skepticism, which I believe to be a healthy skepticism about the Uber monolith, which I had no idea had Saudi Arabian funding. I find that utterly fascinating. But the issues which coalesce are, we've got a very impoverished generation on the one hand that can't afford a taxi fare. So I get that. Every Gen Y and Gen, maybe borderline Gen Xer, that needs a $7 ride and not a $50 ride needs an Uber. I get it. I absolutely get it. It's just like couch surfing, the Pirate Bay, any kind of democratization of a resource. I get that. What I don't get is why we are not committed to women's safety, children's safety, and the safety of vulnerable persons, disabled persons. I am also concerned from a labor angle when we have cabbies or Uber cabbies getting bashed on the head by even drunk pint-sized women. A woman can be quite furious at times if she's drunk. And did you see that? Med do that on YouTube. It was wild. So when we have our Transportation Advisory Committee, I understand that the taxi cab industry is very alienated. And there are some people who really believe that they would never trust putting their daughter in an Uber on the way to the airport. So I hope that the Transportation Advisory Committee doesn't have any pre-existing affiliations or pre-existing lobby arrangements or secret packs and envelopes of cash linking back to Uber or the taxi cab industry. And I find it very difficult to believe that there isn't some kind of secret arrangement. So I unfortunately am unable to report to the public whether Kyle Collins, Jonathan Bolden, Idis Khoshnaw, that's Khoshnaw, or Mark Lautweiler, which is Lautweiler, have any affiliation with the Uber company. I don't know if they're technologists or Silicon Forest people or if they're Dark Ages people or Stone Age people. I don't know what kind of people they are and whether or not we should trust them. But I do trust Zach Goldsmith, who said he trusts a black cab in London. But the man's a millionaire or billionaire or something, so I'm not.
Thank you. Charles?
I'm going to be the closing. The artist is going to speak.
I'm exercising my First Amendment right to speak.
On this subject.
I'm exercising my First Amendment right to speak.
You have to speak on this
subject. I'm exercising my First Amendment right to speak. I am airing my grievances in a public building, in a public meeting. I'm exercising my freedom of speech. I am exercising the Constitution of the United States. I am asserting my right to speak. You, Amanda Fritz, did not stand up for the people. Mayor Hales, you hired a company named Rosenbaum and Watson LLP @gmail.com. Rosenbaum and Watson LLP. You hired them, and you're doing nothing about them. They're creating a crisis. They're hurting people. They are hurting people. Along with you, with your complicity, you sat there. Amanda Fritz, Commissioner, you sat there quiet, complicit, while people were being hurt. While people were being traumatized. A man is being traumatized. A man is being gaslighted by public officials. Y'all better pay attention to this. There are people that are being gaslighted. There are people that are being criminalized because they're speaking up, because they're using their First Amendment right, and they're bringing their grievances to the right place. And they're being arrested. They're being excluded. They're being dismissed. They're being ignored. A man brought a grievance to the COAB, to the meeting. It was a real grievance. It was reasonable. They don't like his voice. They don't like how he speaks. They don't like that he looks gruffy. What are you going to do about it? Shame on you.
Charles?
For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I always listen for the little audio clue that the mic is live. You all are well aware of this, but there may be some confusion with the way things are going. So Mr. Collins was sort of put in the hot seat by Commissioner Fish, but I appreciate Mr. Fish bringing that up because what he's really doing is talking about frontline workers. Of all this massive 17 or 19-person commission, Mr. Fish was good enough to talk about the important work that Kyle Collins, as a frontline driver, a person who's dependent on feeding his family probably through this work, is going to be surrounded by people who are in a slightly different situation. Yes, Broadway Cab, the owner of Broadway Cab, also has a family to feed. His home may be paid for, he may have mortgages, but actually this commission, we should think about if it is properly structured in accordance with Portland values. We have some good signs in the market. We know that a group of primarily Somali immigrant drivers have banded together and formed their own taxi company. Not on the committee yet. Even though it's going to be a contentious election, Chloe Udaly versus Steve Novick, I have good confidence in Commissioner Novick's work to make sure that this for-hire committee is as robust and effective as can be. But all of us should really be caring about business as a way to have quality of life for families to have good lives. So perhaps this committee should even have better engagement with frontline drivers. I don't know, there's a seat for the people who are struggling to maybe have Uber and Lyft driving be their primary income? And we don't have this 3-page PDF doesn't list all the positions. It only talks about the new people, somebody from the Port of Portland. No comment about that. Although I know they're the regulatory agency for the licensing. Shuttle driver, I want to thank Commissioner Novick for his attentiveness there. Idris Koshnow, a Kurdistani immigrant to the United States. Technically, Kurdistan, his part, is under the control of the state of Iran right now. Bad foreign policy by the United States. It should be a Kurdistan state. That's a little bit far from the topic of the agenda, though. I want to get back to the issue of what we as a city, we as a people, you as a city council, and this committee do to make sure that there's a robust spectrum of service jobs and jobs where people can make living income and keep this a vibrant, world-class, world-leading city. Best of luck, especially to Mr. Collins, as he's under the microscope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve, before we vote, can I ask you a couple questions? I have forgotten, and maybe I need to just follow up with Director Tree, but do you recall what the frequency is in terms of council updates on the TNCs generally and compliance with the agreement?
I think I know, but I might have it wrong, so let me ask Mark to answer that.
Well, when's the next time we get an update on all the conditions that we established and compliance and whatever?
We're looking at coming back to council in November with an update. Again, Mark Williams, Regulatory Division Manager. But any time council needs any updated information, we'd be more than happy to gather those and provide that.
One of the issues that I recall us discussing, and I believe Commissioner Saltzman was the proponent, was the level of identification on any TNC. And I believe, Dan, it was your amendment, but I believe it required more than just the symbol of the company. It required
a business license.
I drive a little bit more now than usual because my daughter left me her car before she moved to Europe. And there's obviously pervasive distracted driving on the roads. I mean, equal opportunity. Everybody seems to be distracted. But I have noticed a significant amount of distracted driving by TNCs. And what I notice on the identifying on the vehicle is just either a lift sign or a U and not and nothing else. Is there a currently requirement that the business license be prominently displayed?
Correct. So what we do know is happening is that the Lyft and Uber management has required all their drivers to initially write that number on the back of their trade dress. And as they come in to renew, I believe they're getting a more formal trade dress. The lettering is kind of small and hard to see from a distance, but during our enforcement actions, we are seeing that a lot of the drivers do have it there.
So I just, and I, with the caveat that I may have the worst eyesight of any member of the council, to say that the lettering is small is an understatement because it has escaped my, completely, my ability to detect it. And my recollection is that the purpose of having that information was so that a passenger, a pedestrian, another driver could get that number and then take some follow-up action. Commissioner Saltzman?
I think it was that, and also just to ensure that people driving are current in their business license requirements. So it was both.
So it just...
And the lettering is small, I will be the first to admit, so maybe we can improve that.
So this is not... directly germane to this matter, but if I have a number of concerns, including the distracted driving, which I think is a function of people driving with their iPhones on, and whether that's allowed or not, because it's not texting, but it may be Google mapping or whatever is a different matter, but it does promote more distracted driving. But I've not been able to detect any of the business license information. And so is that something that we can at least consider, whether it's prominent enough?
I think we can totally consider that. I think the size of the lettering right now is kind of being determined by the size of the trade dress that they initially mass-produced. And so they're writing that numbering at the bottom, and it is the business license with the City of Portland. But we can certainly go back to them and explore options.
I'd certainly be open to looking at a font requirement and saying that everybody has to be in compliance with that.
And when you say trade dress, you're referring to the sticker that's about that size?
Yes.
Okay, so that – and I'm not going to speak for the proponent of that amendment, but I thought we were requiring something more substantial than just small print on the bottom of the trade dress, which, frankly, you know, looks to me more like one of those eye tests you take when you're in the eye doctor, and very rarely do people pick up that bottom line. I thought it was supposed to be something that was more... easier to read for the general public and for someone.
If I could, I'm Dave Benson, Parking Services Group Manager. So when we get a compliment or a complaint about a private for hire, at least I'd expect most people will use a license plate number. With the license plate number, it's pretty easily readable. And if we get that information, we can go right to the driver of that vehicle. I don't think it was ever our intent to use the business license number as a way for a citizen to report. Certainly they could do that, but the license plate number is a slightly more effective way to do that.
Well, we can have this discussion. I just think it should be at least as visible as the license plate. And right now you need binoculars to pick them up.
Yeah, it is very small. I've seen them on all the vehicles out there, and they are. It's within the trade dress.
What's the current penalty for driving a vehicle with a trade dress that has a number on it, but it isn't actually the business license?
It would be $50, I believe, without having the penalty table in front of me. I believe it's the first offense is $50.
So if you put a sticker on your car with a phony business license, flagrantly not complying with this requirement, the fine you're facing is $50?
The initial fine is $50, yes.
I think
it goes up after that?
It goes up, I believe, to $100 and then $150.
Well, I think we need to revisit that as well, Commissioner Novick.
But that's for not displaying. I mean, what is the initial fine for simply driving without a license?
Without the trade dress?
Without any business license at all.
Oh, without the business license at all. It is the same. It's $50. So without carrying your insurance, I recall, and without carrying your business license on you, you do have to have a paper copy on you in your vehicle. And without having the proper trade dress, I believe those three initial penalties do start at $50.
That does seem low.
It seems
like open to looking at increasing those.
Okay.
And that's if you don't carry them with you. What if it turns out you don't have a business license?
The only drivers that do not need a business license are those that actually are working as full-time employees. So currently that would be EcoCab and a few of the NEMTs out there that have full-time staff.
But what if you just don't have one?
You would be issued a sanction of $50.
So I think we're all in agreement that that's woefully inadequate.
Yeah, because in general, the penalty for not having a license ought to be more than the cost of the license, right? In other words, if it's cheaper to drive without one, someone might gamble until that they won't get caught, right? But if I'm going to get nailed for $300 for not having a $100 license, I'm probably going to be a better citizen.
But I do want to clarify that no driver is onboarded onto the platform for Uber or Lyft, nor will we certify any driver without first verifying their business license in our regulatory division. So they all have them. They don't often carry that copy with them, and that's what we're citing them for.
That's different.
Yeah.
So we're confident that every driver has a business license. This is about whether they just adequately display it.
That's correct, yes.
Although I suppose it's theoretically possible for somebody to get hold of Uber or Lyft trade dress and put it on their car without being onboarded, so there should be meaningful sanctions for that.
Sure. So if you do go out there, and let's say, I mean, you can buy these things, I understand, on the Internet, and a driver could go out there and pose as a Lyft driver. But as you know, you do request those rides through the app. No person should get into a vehicle without requesting it through the app. Once you request that ride, or when we go out and we conduct an audit, the information that we have within our database for that day should reflect every active driver on the road that day. So we can confirm any driver on the road with an Uber or Lyft trade dress just by checking into our database.
But I thought we didn't have the entire database of who's driving for these companies, that we did it by audit.
In the new regulations, we made a requirement that every day they provide us a list of all of their active drivers on that particular day.
But we don't know whether that they have or not.
Yes, they do. We see it every day.
I know. You see a list, but you don't know whether that's the list, the whole list, and nothing but the list. Because that's you find that out by audit, right?
We do find that out by audit. But when we conduct our audits, again, we are going out there, and we are calling an Uber or a Lyft driver using the app, and we are conducting that audit when they arrive. We also go out to the airport where they're waiting in the hold lot, and we can conduct audits on a number of vehicles all at once.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
It's helpful. Other questions?
I guess I would like an update. I think I've made this request known about the 50 cent per passenger surcharge that we put in place to fund enforcement efforts. If you could provide us, I'd like to know, you don't have to do it now, but maybe in writing, how much money has been generated to date?
Sure, we can do that for you.
What's the money going for?
Be happy to provide that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks very much. So is there a motion to adopt the report?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Thanks to all of the citizens who have agreed to serve in this important advisory role. And thank you, Commissioner Novick, for continuing to make progress on TNCs. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick.
Thank you, Mark and Dave. Thanks, my colleagues, for their good questions. I did just want to explain what the rest of the membership of the committee consists of, because I think that would be helpful to people watching. We have a representative of the tourism industry, a representative of the Portland Commission on Disabilities. We have an at-large community member with a disability, general member of the writing public, someone from the port, as we mentioned, someone from TriMet, a taxi company representative, a taxi driver representative, a TNC company representative, a TNC driver representative, an executive town car company representative, an executive town car driver representative, shuttle company representative, shuttle driver representative, a representative of a tour bus company, and a representative of a non-emergency medical transportation company. So that's how we get up to 19 people. Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, one more case. I mean, we depend on volunteer citizens to figure out whether buildings meet our design review standards. What is a historic landmark? And in this case, how do we fit the new economy into an old cab system? So I appreciate these folks being willing to put a lot of volunteer hours into making the city work. Aye.